Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. You found the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
In this edition, we'll focus on United DJs, a new project from the fertile business brain of veteran DJ Tony Prince. Mike Reed and Dave Lee Travis are among the names lined up for this new online service, which promises to bring back, yes, fun to music radio. Stu Clarkson will be along with the latest news, and David Lloyd's got some radio moments. But first off, I just want to share this with you. It's the 50th anniversary today of my first radio station, BBC Radio Nottingham. And Radio 2's Simon Mayo and I have been having great fun making an affectionate tribute to the station's pioneers. Here's a clip you might enjoy.
And within seconds, in fact, we had a telephone call. It's quite fantastic just how quickly some people managed to ring in. And I'm going to talk to the person who rang in right now. And what is your name?
Colin Sampson.
And what do you reckon it is, Colin?
National Anthem of Belgium.
Sorry, Colin, you're not right. In fact, it's... Well, I won't tell you what it is, will I? Because we hope some more telephone calls.
Yes.
Whereabouts are you ringing from?
From my home.
I see. Well, thank you very much for ringing in, Colin. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Did you hear the old Bakelite phone being put down? Tony Cook, in 1968.
Nowadays, it's called multi-skilling.
Robert McLeish, Radio Nottingham's first programme organiser.
It was radical. It was absolutely radical because you were self-operational. You sat down in front of your studio desk and you had your faders. They were rotary faders in those days, not sliders. You played your own records. You played in your own tapes. You did your own announcing. You did your interviewing across the desk to the other person. So you ran the studio. There was nobody else there.
If you were going to play some music, you would have two turntables.
Gina Madgett, one of Radio Nottingham's first station assistants.
And there'd be a felt mat on the top of it, and you'd put your record on top of that. You would push up the pre-hear key, listen to when the music started, cue it back, just turn it back a quarter of a revolution with the stylus in place, and then you'd start the record turntable going, but hold the felt mat, which kept the record still until you let go, and then the music started.
It was described as being amateurish because not everybody, it has to be said, was actually equally good at everything, and sometimes the on-air sounds weren't as good as the network sounds.
Hello, Nottingham. I'm sure there'll be something for everyone today.
The full programme's called On the Street Where You Live, and you can find it on the iPlayer. More radio memories with David later, but now back to the future with Tony Prince.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
So, Tony Prince, welcome to the Radio Today programme. What is United DJs? It was Deluxe Radio, now it's got a new name. What's going on?
Well, United DJs is exactly what it says on the can. It's a bunch of DJs who want to just change things, take it back to where it was with personality radio, with free playlists. The original concept was with a guy who I was involved in, and we went off at tangents. He wanted to do it one way, I wanted to do it another. So we separated, and I gave it a rebirth as United DJs, and that's based on the United Artists, you know, Charlie Chaplin's film company, which was a bunch of actors who were disenfranchised by the big companies, and they decided to do something about it. And so that's what we're doing with a bunch of DJs who feel the same as I.
Tony, how do you read the story of the last 20 years of particularly commercial radio? Why are people like you and the other members of United DJs not on the radio anymore?
Well, you know, the first person to make a move was Richard Park at Global when he got rid of all the real big names off Capital Gold. That was the start of the slippery slide. It put guys out in the world. They had to find work. And quite frankly, you know, they were a lot more expensive in those days than the ordinary new kid on the block. And there were more and more radio stations coming along. So they found themselves doing little local radio gigs, and perhaps some of them still are, you know. But I woke up one morning and I suddenly realized that there was something terribly wrong with radio. It had lost its, there was too much of it. Everything was diluted. And then I found out that streaming had finally found its way into the car radio. And I'd always maintained that the only thing stopping internet radio was getting it into the car radio, and that's happening now. So I hope we're right at the start of something exciting and new again. United DJs is not just my team of British DJs who've built their reputation over the years. It's going to, late at night, it's going to split to United DJs of Canada, United DJs of Australia, New Zealand, and we're going to really find similar people with the same kind of personality and zest for radio and a love for music with a free format with no program director and see what they can throw at the world. I'm excited.
The essence of that kind of radio that you've just described is that it was live. So are you going to do live programming or will it be voice tracked?
Some of it will be voice tracked, where they are inconvenienced by coming to our studio in Maidenhead. But we are putting Myriad in, which is the system that allows remote access, from, providing they've got Myriad in their home studio. So a lot of guys will be remoting in. Mike Reed and myself will be going live in the mornings. People who are going to be remoting in on the strip shows during the day will do so. So you really, I hope you won't be able to tell. I hope you won't see the difference between, you know, a voice tracked program, which I'm not keen on, you know, you lose some kind of adrenaline there, and live shows.
Tony, do you think that the people who remember yourself and Mike Reed and DLT and some of the other big names that have been mentioned, will those people be the kind of audience who will be online, who will get the whole business of internet radio?
I think you're doubting the technology now of the people who used to listen to Luxembourg and Radio 1 in the early days. Our target audience, candidly, is 40+. I think along the line we'll pick up a younger breed who enjoy what we're doing and can see that we're enjoying what we're doing. So 40+ will do fine. And even in that demographic, you've got people who will not know me as a DJ on radio. They might know me through the DMC World DJ Championships, which have been rolling for 30 years now. And that will attract people out of interest. Whether I play the right kind of music to please them all remains open to the experience of broadcasting. But we've got 7 decades to choose music from. There is some incredible music to play, and we're all very excited about being able to play just what we think will win the audience.
Tell me about that, the music policy, because we know that commercial radio programmers these days say that the more niche you are, the better, the fewer records you can rotate, the better your audience. And you're just saying, you know, well, we've got 7 decades to play from. Is there a risk that you're too diverse, or is it mainstream radio that's underestimating the audience?
Let's just go back to those mainstream radio stations and the bean counters, the accountants who are running the station, really. They, you know, you can pretend that program controllers. I mean, if you want a gig on Heart, you have to go in and be trained how to be a Heart DJ. And we know what that means. It means you've got to be tight. You've got to stick to the playlist. You've got to play a jingle every so often. They've got a rotation system for a few records that are really hot. And too many radio stations sound like that. So why else in this day and age of Spotify and Apple iTunes and everything else, where people can go and listen to music, they can put their favorite track in and then the computer will bring in more music of a similar genre. In that day and age, ask yourself, why should people go to radio? They don't have to. They can be their own program director and choose their own music. So to me, the key element that we need is a host who can entertain them, you know, and go back to the old days of pirate radio where they say what they want. They have fun. You know, that's what we're going to try and achieve. It's not out there at the moment. And why I've got 30 DJs who signed up to this channel is because they know it's not out there and they know they can do it because they used to do it. Now they're going to do it again.
How do you feel about the fact that obviously the press have picked up on the return of DLT? Is his presence going to overshadow the launch, or might it actually do the opposite and draw some attention to it?
I think it was inevitable that the press picked up on it, and Dave knew that, and he spent a lot of time cogitating and concerning himself with how it would be regarded by the press. They picked up on it. I think, you know, they've been very kind to him, basically, you know. Everybody on the station was a friend of Dave's and still are, and we want to give him a new chance in life. You know, no matter what people think about the... he still thinks he was innocent, for starters. And, you know, the thing is this. David... he deserves a chance because he lost his house in that court case. He was dragged through the courts for a couple of years. It was a suspended sentence, a three-month sentence, which was suspended for 2 years. He lost his job. Now, the kind of crime that he was accused of, you know, does it deserve that kind of a fine? Lose your house, lose your job. I think it's a travesty of justice. And I'm hoping we can ease David back in. He's got so much support on the internet that we know he's still loved. There will be those who are biased against the accusations, but we believe the guy deserves another chance in life, and we're all delighted he's with us.
Tony, we'll leave that one. I could challenge you, but I won't. What I will ask you, though, is this a hobby, or are you intending to try and make it a commercial enterprise?
Well, let's see where it goes. I have no aspirations to make a million. I just don't think money is not involved here at all. I probably will make some of the DJs shareholders if we form a company. I want them to be part of it. I want them to feel the passion for it. And if it needs shares, you know, that's what I'll do. No, I'm not doing this as something. It's just something, you know... You know, Trevor, I love ideas. My life has been about creating original ideas, whether it's DMC, Mixmag, World DJ Championships, Wedding TV, and Nightlife Holidays to Ibiza. I've been doing all kinds of entrepreneurial things throughout my life, and this is just an extension of my desire to get a good idea and run with it. Where the run ends on this occasion, I'm getting on a little bit now, God only knows, but I'll tell you something, we are going to have one heck of a lot of fun.
Tell us how we can listen, you know, when do you get going?
Well, we're targeting to launch on March the 1st. We are waiting for Virgin Media to install a stronger internet in DMC, where the studios are based. The studio is almost finished now. We're building another one now, a production studio, so we've got everything we need. And if Virgin get their act together, we'll be on the air March the 1st. We might even be on a couple of days earlier, you know. It'd be nice to start on a Monday morning with the Mike Reed Breakfast Show from 7 till 9. That was a plug, did you notice?
I did notice that, actually, Tony. Well, it'll be nice for us to hear at least some of the familiar voices. And as you said, there are some other names there that people will be less aware of. How have you recruited them?
Basically through the other members of the team who've recommended people they know of. They've put them in touch with me. I've heard their audition tape. Can we call it an audition tape? I've heard their demo.
Yes, that's it.
Audition tape, eh? And I've been very thrilled with some of the talent that we've brought in. Yeah, that's how it's worked, you know. I'm working with a team, you know. It's not just me dominating everything here. It's a bunch of guys, you know. They're all involved with the Facebook page. They're all involved with the activity on the website. It's just great.
Tony Prince, your royal ruler, now ruling over the online station United DJs, which launches in a few weeks' time. Here's Stu now with the rest of this week's news.
Thank you, Trevor. The BBC's announced the first details of its big music festival being staged by its music radio stations this year. The Biggest Weekend replaces Radio 1's Big Weekend for 1 year only and sees the station team up with Radio 2, Radio 3, 6 Music, The Asian Network and One Extra to put on events in four cities, Coventry, Swansea, Belfast and Perth, over 4 days at the end of May. Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift, no less, will headline the Radio 1 bits in Swansea. Swansea. Three big-name BBC radio presenters admitted this week they're taking pay cuts as part of measures to tackle the ongoing equal pay issue. Five Live's Nicky Campbell, Radio 2's Jeremy Vine and Radio 4's John Humphreys among those who've agreed to reductions. UK Radio Player has now made catch-up and podcast content available via its Amazon Echo skill. It opens up thousands of extra hours of radio content to people with Alexa devices. The Radio Academy's announced its five new trustees following the recent elections. Joining the board are Ahmed Hussein, Aradhana Tayal, Denny Morris, Stephanie Hurst and Steve Taylor. Bauer's Absolute Radio 90s has gone national again, rejoining the D1 digital radio multiplex after an absence of 3 years. It's using the multiplex space that was previously Magic Christmas and before that Kiss Fresh. Local Radio Day is coming back for 2018. The UKRD run initiative will happen for the third year on the 25th of May. Around 80 stations took part last time out. Online station Radio Yorkshire, which used to broadcast on DAB until late last year, has changed its name this week. The Leeds-based station is now called Proper Sport. And we send our best to the former GMG Radio boss and friend of the show, John Myers, this week, who's announced he's receiving treatment for cancer. Team, from everyone at Radio Today, we wish you a speedy return to full health. That's it for this week. As always, there's much more online at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu. David Lloyd after this.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Moments. The fruity voice of Ray Moore epitomised the warm sound of Radio 2 for a generation. His last programme was this week, 30 years ago.
And a lady called Audrey Sayer, who's down in Weston-super-Mare in Somerset, says she wants me at about 7 o'clock on Thursday morning. For quite what devious reasons, I haven't the foggiest idea, and probably it's just as well I don't know. But cheers to you, Audrey. She sends a photo of herself at the social highlight of the year in Weston-super-Mare, and Audrey sitting there in all her glory with a wonderful sort of low-cut singlet, quite a bit of décolletage sticking out there. And it's a picture, actually, of Audrey enjoying a little light breakfast, a two-course breakfast, a ciggy in one hand and a large scotch in the other.
He caressed the mic with that gravelly voice. He spoke to each listener individually. Some can do it, most can't. He needed to be alone in his dark cubicle, trousers slightly undone, loosened tie, often unshaved. He sounded like we felt. He seemed to describe our own lives. A lovely man. Fun to be with, Rye.
David Hatch, MD of BBC Radio in the late 80s and 90s, speaking of Ray Moore. Ray's last programme on Radio 2 was this week in 1988. He died almost exactly a year later. Another BBC local station hits the 50-year mark this week, and it's one close to my heart.
This is BBC Radio Nottingham on VHF 94.8 and Rediffusion Channel C.
Well, I felt elated because the battle had been won, or at least half won, although it was still called an experiment, a word I refused absolutely to use at any time. I said we were pioneer stations, and it was a joyful feeling at first. We didn't altogether realise the problems that were going to hit us when we came to actual operational terms.
Station manager Gerald Nethercott on the early moments of BBC Radio Nottingham this week in 1968. A station which was to talk to its county and embrace its characters.
The two people that were talking to me earlier on about my feelings for Nottingham, I think Nottingham's a beautiful city. I don't want any idiot from anywhere, any time, destroying anything that's nice and good, whether they're Nottingham people or born in Hong Kong.
OK, Mr Garland, thank you.
Thank you.
A young lady came up to me, she said she didn't want to go on the air, but she said, could you ask Brian Clough if he's going to do anything about the ladies' toilets at the Colwick Road end?
I'm not quite sure. I think the best thing I do is I better stand out there, nobody will go in.
The power of local radio sorts out your toilets. Talk formats are fairly rare in UK local commercial radio, but this week, 10 years ago, Liverpool got a new talk licence.
It's 6 a.m. on Monday, January the 28th, 2008. For the very first time, this is City Talk 105.9, broadcast into Merseyside.
Merseyside on 105.9 FM
and DAB digital radio.
This is City Talk.
I've got
got to be honest, we were quite calm about this until that incredible build-up. And you've got Paul McCartney, you've got government ministers.
4 minutes to City Tour.
You've got all these FA Cup and European Cup victories. And then us two, Phil Eason and Kim Hughes. Anyway, good morning to you. So here we are. We'll stop with it now.
The start of City Talk 105.9, launching from Liverpool's St John's Beacon this week in 2008. There had been an earlier version on AM, and now the most recent version has transferred to AM itself. He says he was described as the devil by John Peel. But he's still at it, and he's 75 this week.
Hi, fellas, I'm a 35 sound from Bigger Than the Sorty Colours. Don't stop loving me, baby. 7 minutes past the hour of seven, and you know something? Every morning between the hours of 6 and 9... thank you very much, though. The new faces, and you know something else?
It's Caroline Golden Gasser time.
Oh, really? The Everly Brothers.
The Ronettes there on an LP track called Do I Love You, and there you are. I'm afraid we've run right out of time. Thank you very much for listening this morning, everyone. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Certainly enjoyed being with you, and look forward to being back with you tomorrow between 5:30 and 8 o'clock. The news in brief follows in about 40 seconds' time, and after that, the TW show. So from me, Tony Blackburn, have a lovely weekend, won't you? Enjoy yourself, have lots of fun, be good, and bye for now. Bye-bye, everyone.
I'm afraid we've just about run out of time. Thank you very much for listening. It really has been lovely doing the first programme on the BBC. Actually, it's great being here. I usually do auditions, but if you can possibly make it next week, love to have you around. So until next week, have a lovely time, won't you? Enjoy yourselves, look after yourselves, and this is Tony Blackburn saying have lots of fun.
Be good.
And bye for now. Bye-bye, everyone.
Yes, indeed, we've even got Arnold back. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first of the Tony Blackburn shows. I shall be waking up every morning, except Sunday, between 7 and 8.30. So let's away! If this one doesn't wake you up, then nothing will. This is number 3 this week in the Radio 1 Fun 30 from the movie score Flowers in the Rain.
Woke up one morning...
And hello there, how are you this afternoon? I hope that you've had a good day, apart from the weather. Very strange day here in London. A little bit of snow, a little bit of rain, a bit of everything today. But anyhow, welcome to listeners on VHF who have just joined Radio 1 for the...
Happy 75th birthday to Tony Blackburn. He's lived 54 of those years on the air. The best programme ideas are often the simplest, aren't they? And in the 1940s, Roy Plumley couldn't sleep. One cold night, he got up with an idea in his head, wrote it down. That idea has now been on air for 76 years.
I know from what I've been told by my guests and what I've read here and there, necessary research, I know quite a lot about desert islands, and I know that they are not places to go to. Mm. There was a time when the BBC suggested I should go on a desert island and give a talk about how I was getting on each day. But, well, I know that there are so many thousand kinds of poisonous berries, and that there's a kind of fish that you must not eat, and you mustn't cut your foot on this kind of coral, etc., etc. I know so many of the hazards that I'm not looking for that sort of trouble.
I do like doing things with my hands, so I think I would just about be all right. I'm quite a fast learner.
Would you try to escape?
I don't think so, because I'm cautious by nature. And I would just hope that someone would come and rescue me. My dreams would go that way.
Desert Island Discs, the longest-running factual programme in the history of radio. It began this week in 1942. It's not possible to pass any Wogan anniversary, not least the day of his passing 2 years ago. But let's not play that final breakfast show yet again. Let's just admire his storytelling.
Very little has changed here, lads. Mind, there's all sorts of new equipment here. But as I was coming in this morning... there he was, MDR, Managing Director of Radio, collecting the old milk bottles, as in days of yore, collecting the milk in that disgusting dressing gown, and that air of shabby gentility that characterises the BBC senior executive. And I said, hello, sir, tipping the cap to him smartly. Hello, sir, how are you today? And he said, hello, mate, how are you? And I said, well, MDR, I'm jolly glad to be back. He said... you've been away then?
Terry Wogan, who died this week in 2016. So, with the launch of Mansfield 103.2 19 years ago...
So, every time you turn us on, we guarantee that you'll hear your favourite songs...
Radio 2 going 24 hours 39 years ago...
And 24-hour broadcasting means that Radio News will, for the first time, be able to offer full round-the-clock coverage.
BBC 5 Live Sports Extra launched 16 years ago...
More live sport, pure live sport.
And Zoe Ball leaving her Radio 2 weekend breakfast show 6 years ago...
With me, Zoe Ball.
Those are this week's Radio Moments...
Radio Moments. David Lloyd, Stu Clarkson and Tony Prince are on the credits list this week. It's been a TDC production, and next time we'll be back at Jazz FM for another round table, this time with an all-woman panel, which seems to fit the zeitgeist of the moment. I'm Trevor Dan, thanks for listening. Ta-da.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.